There is a lot of discussion about a regulatory change that could eliminate what are called embedded fees in Canada. Some industry players argue that the change will make financial advice unaffordable for many. Not so fast, says our next guest. John DeGuy is a portfolio manager with Industry Alliance Securities, and he joins us now. Hello there.
Hi there.
Summarize the potential change for people who are not in it to win it on regulatories.
So this has been going on, first off, for over 20 years, off and on, as a discussion as to what to do about embedded compensation, and I would prefer to call them embedded commissions. The problem is that the industry is set in its ways, and they're making a lot of money. A lot of people make a lot of money being fat and happy by recommending products and not talking about how and how much the advisor gets paid when recommending a product to the clients. And as a result, there's a certain amount of, ask me no questions and I'll tell you no lies sort of attitude where consumers are almost willfully ignorant of how and how much their advisor is being paid. And as a byproduct of that, they end up buying things that are not necessarily best for them, but rather are more remunerative for the advisor. And because the topic never comes up, they're oblivious to it all.
And the argument on that side is essentially that if you exclude it, if it's not embedded and people have to fork out the cash for it, they will be unable or that advisors will be unwilling to serve the smaller clients. Is that the essence of it?
Yeah, that's the essence, and it's complete poppycock.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say you don't agree. Why? But I like so you're calling it poppycock. Why?
It's hogwash. It's so as I say, four quarters does not cost more than a dollar, and how you pay has absolutely no impact on how much you pay. And so affordability, because what we're talking about here is affordability, is unchanged. Whether you pay it transparently or whether you pay it in an embedded format, you're paying the same amount, and if you can afford to pay one way, then you can just as easily afford to pay the other.
Right. You have written about this. You call the UK experience, a market that has done this, a smoking gun. You're calling the UK experience a smoking gun, showing that advisors are motivated more by compensation than by product merit when making recommendations to clients. When the compensation filter is removed, they actually do the right thing. Tell me more about that.
So what has happened in one of the problems about, and I know you've talked about this in previous podcasts, is that right now what we're dealing with is the fallout and the aftermath for CRM2, the second phase of the client relationship model, where clients are finally being told what their return is, at least over 1 year, and what their advisor and advisor's firm is being paid for the advice that they give. Again, for the first time ever starting this year, what they are not being told on their statements is how much the products cost. Mm. And so it's sort of like imagine going to a garage and getting your muffler fixed. And before you get the muffler replaced, the garage will give you an estimate and say the muffler is going to cost you $89 and labor is going to cost you $120. That's $219 plus tax. Please initial here and we'll begin work right away.
Right.
That's not what's happening with regard to mutual funds. We're finally, in 2017, disclosing how much the cost of the advice is, but we still, other than what was disclosed in a prospectus that some people got 15 years ago and didn't understand and didn't read anyway, there is no similar disclosure with regard to how much the products cost. And surprise, surprise, those that pay an embedded compensation tend to be the highest cost products, and those that don't tend to be the lowest cost products. And that's even when you back out the compensation, which is to say, holding compensation constant at zero, the difference in price might still be a full 1%. Advisors have a preference to not give their clients a bill, and so they end up using their products that have a higher cost so that they don't have to give them a bill. And then the clients pay not only for the advice, which might be fair and reasonable, might not be, but it might be, but then they also fairly unambiguously pay a fair bit more than they would otherwise have to for their products because the advisors don't want to give them a bill.
So is it the mutual fund companies that stand to take a hit here? Because if costs go down, if an advisor chooses a lower cost product without a productivity improvement, someone's profit is going to take a hit.
Yeah, three legs to a stool. So there's the client, there's the advisor, and there's the product manufacturers. And all three of them have to find ways to decide, you know, what's the cost to one party is a profit to the other, for instance, right? So you've got to figure out the client in the end is paying for both the cost of the advice and the cost of the product. And when you unbundle and you make have the advisor pay charge separately for the advice and then charge separately for whatever products he or she uses in operationalizing that advice, it very quickly moves you to a product meritocracy where the best products are the ones that will be recommended because the advisor is no longer joined at the hip and only recommending from that more limited list of those products that pay an embedded compensation. So what happens is advisors, and this is what we found in the UK when they came out with their changes, which was called the RDR, the Retail Distribution Review, was that as soon as advisors no longer had the option of using embedded compensation products, they very quickly, like almost instantaneously, within a couple of quarters, started using the lower cost products because now they could actually pass the savings on to their clients and they'd still get paid either way.
So is it as simple as that? Why advisors don't push lower cost options now? Because they'd stand to lose.
Yeah, it's not quite that simple. That's one. I would say that's the main reason. There's also just inertia. That people just don't like change, and so there's that. There's a certain amount of. I was actually speaking at a conference in Ottawa last week. There was the annual conference for the Canadian Institute of Financial Planners, and I spoke to some of my peers, and I called them on it, how a lot of them are just not facing the evidence. The evidence is overwhelming that the very large majority of high-cost, actively managed products underperform their benchmark over time. But these are people who have spent their entire careers telling their clients that that's not the case, in spite of the evidence. It's like they're global warming deniers. Like you can't deny the evidence when it's that blatant and it's been around for – the evidence has been in existence for a couple decades now. But the problem is they've now told their clients one story, and the evidence points to a rather different story. And, of course – you can come clean and do what's right, but doing so requires that you admit that you were less than forthcoming in the first place. And a lot of people don't want to have that. So there are a number of reasons. There's product merit, there's compensation and how and how much you get paid and how transparent you are. But there's also sort of the baggage of what you've said in the past and how you can reconcile that with the evidence that's becoming more and more prevalent.
Is your business fee-based mainly?
Yes.
Would your view be different if you were a commission-based advisor, do you think?
Sure. Commission-based advisors, take...
Because they're kind of jammed. They're jammed.
I have nothing against commission-based advisors of and by itself. I have nothing... I'm not opposed to people who do good work, and most advisors do good work, deserve to be paid for it, and as long as they're paid fairly... then the how is a secondary concern. The problem is that when you're paid fairly, but you're giving compromised and conflicted advice because you're recommending products that are not necessarily best for the clients, and so that then becomes the problem. Of and by itself, let's put it this way: if the products that currently pay commissions didn't, and the products that currently don't pay commissions, advisors would almost certainly change their product recommendations, which is to say advisor recommendations are driven primarily by the embedded compensation that exists or does not exist with their products rather than the merit of the products themselves.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense. If I was working at a retail store and I knew I was getting paid much more for one pair of pants versus the other, it would be hard to look at the client and say, you look amazing in the pants that I'm not going to get paid for. It'd be hard. John, I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Bruce.
John DeGuy is a portfolio manager with Industrial Alliance Securities.